Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name's Nancy C., and I'm your moderator today, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Today is Tuesday, April 1st. God, where's time going? 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 87, the second paragraph. Today's readers are, and thank everyone for their service for the month. And Susan S.H. is reading the text. Rena L. is reading page 164. Marge O. is our backup. And our host for the second hour is Loretta M. And Christine G. Our newcomer reader is Loretta M., and our host for the second hour is Christine G., and reading the 12 steps is Michelle J., and traditions, Barbara P. The reference numbers for yesterday meetings are the 7 a.m. meeting is 22,300, that's 22300, and the 10 a.m., 22,301. That's 22301. Our preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Michelle J. to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Good morning, family. Michelle J. from Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Michelle J. And reading the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, is Barbara P. Barbara, please share with us.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Barbara P., compulsive overeater, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve.
Thank you, Barbara P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic in the literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except for the speaker, should be muted. So today we resume the study of the Big Book. We are on page 87, the second paragraph, and I have asked today for Susan F.H. who's going to get us going. Susan.
I'm now unmuted. Okay, good. This is Susan S.H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in St. Mary's, Ohio. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Surprisingly, this seems like, well, that paragraph's not for you. Circumstances have not warranted so far that I have anyone with me in my morning prayer and meditation, so it stays solitary, and that's okay. That's what I'm used to. So far, my husband still bristles a little at the idea, as I did. It's okay. It is his journey. I never rule out what miracles may occur in the future, as I have seen so many miracles. So many miraculous things happen in these last 8 years of recovery. I have my prayers that I usually do in the morning, and I have my routine, and I appreciate that quiet time. That's my prayer and meditation, and that's every day. I don't belong to a religious denomination, but I don't avoid or ignore the religious people any longer. I don't have to bristle. I can be open, honest, and willing to see where they're right. I can always use what is offered, even if it's only the goodwill that's behind it. And, I think that's all that I can bring to this paragraph. I appreciate it every time I read it. I appreciate that it's okay. It doesn't have to be my story. Asking people into my morning meditation. And I love my morning meditation, solitary as it is. So grateful and happy to be here and happy to get a chance to serve. So I pass.
Hey, thanks, Susan S.H., for getting us started. And now I'm going to take a list of names for people who want to share on this paragraph. And just as a reminder, we do love to hear from everyone, but we ask that if you have shared in the last 2 days, that would be Monday or Friday, please step back and let others share with the group. So who would like to share this morning?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Amy, I'm Lisa B, and I Julie heard M. Kelly, Julie,
Amy M.C.,
Ann M., North Carolina,
Ann M., Christina J.,
Amy M.C.,
Amy M.C.,
Vanita L.,
Vanita L, everyone's being so nice. All right, let me tell you who I've got, and then let me know who I missed. I have Lisa B, Kelly, I'll get your last initial, Julie, Ann M, Christina J, Amy MC, and Vanita L. Did I miss anyone in that first lineup? All right, Lisa B, you have the floor, followed by Kelly.
Good morning, Nancy. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in South Carolina. I spell my name L-E-S-A. I like to share, you know, once a week, and this is the morning that I'm able to share live on the meeting. And the part of this reading that really jumps out for me is make use of what they offer. And when I very first came into 12-step programs, you know, I did bristle when I saw the word God in the steps. And I when I was starting to read through the big book, you know, with my sponsor and in We Agnostics, it talks about how, you know, we could be handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice. And that was me. And I had been so touchy about even a casual reference to spiritual things. But, you know, here we are and into action in step 11. And at this point, I've started to have an experience, and it's all inside of me. This is an internal experience that's happening inside of me. And I want to continue to grow and nurture this. And it's telling me that I need to make use of what they offer, you know, the religious people offer. And this is a spiritual program. But I can make use of what the religious people offer, and I can also learn, just like it tells me in We Agnostic, that it talks about that they had a way of life. I can't find it right now, but it was like usefulness, you know, that I should be seeking myself. And I was the exact opposite of usefulness. You know, I was such a taker, and I'm learning in this program, it's really about giving. It's about giving and being useful and having this transformation. So I want to be open-minded, and I want to seek out these prayers. And it's good to have a few set prayers for me, because sometimes when I get in a jam, you know, just like the third step prayer and seventh step prayer, it really helps just to have that prayer that I know by memory to draw on. So that's really what I wanted to share, is just the experience that's happening inside of me. I want to continue to nurture it. It's about creating an openness and an atmosphere of seeking out and trusting and growing and enlarging my spiritual life. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much. Glad to be here. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. And next up, we have Kelly. Kelly, if you could give me your initial of your last name and where you're calling from, it's your turn to share.
Thanks so much, Nancy. Kelly G., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida.
Hey, Kelly.
Hello. So thanks so much for your service this morning. And I really love this paragraph because, you know, my morning meditation is pretty private to me in terms of I live alone. So it's not like I'm have the option to have somebody join me, but I did have a beautiful practice that isn't always consistent, and we haven't done it in a little while, but I have two great fellows in program, and so we'd get on Zoom and we would do our morning meditation together. And it was really beautiful because we're, you know, start our day together, we're in different time zones, and it was just, there's such a power in, you know, more than one person. And there's other mornings where I go visit my parents. And they live in Naples. My mom and I will have coffee, tea in the morning, and I bring out my morning readers. And she's not in program, but she speaks of God even more than I do, just from infusing herself with the power that I have within me. And so it's beautiful. We take the morning readers and we read them while we're having breakfast. And it's just so powerful. Like, we just like reflect, and it's so nice to, I don't want to say like pass on, but just more like share the power that's in these words that kind of centers me every single day. And I also have other, you know, daily readers that I read that are not like OA approved, but they're also really powerful. What I love is that it's not one size fits all. And one of my questions I always ask people that I speak with on the phone, whether they be a newcomer or newly recovered or just fellows that I've known for a while, is what does your morning meditation practice look like? Because I'm always looking to enrich mine, improve mine, change mine. So I love hearing from other people, what do they do to connect? Because, you know, sometimes I think like that person has the magic pill because they seem so serene. I wonder what they do in the morning. But it's just a matter of, I do it. Like, that's really all that this program is the action. As long as I have something every single day that grounds me and connects me and just makes me pause and realize that I myself cannot get through this day alone and to seek, then like I'm off to a really good start. So really grateful. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thank you, Kelly G of Florida. And next up, we have Julie. Julie, if you would tell us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, it's your turn.
Good morning. This is Julie M. from New York, a grateful compulsive overeater. Thank you, everyone, for being on the line, and what great cheers so far. I love this particular paragraph because, you know, although I do this practice in isolation, God is with me as soon as I open my mouth in prayer and meditation. And so although I'm alone, but really he is with me. And it's amazing that my husband is in program, and on the weekends we're able to sit together and have our cup of coffee and do our prayer and meditation together. And that's such a gift. And this weekend I happened to be in a wonderful retreat. And imagine that the topic was step 11, seeking conscious contact with God. And it was so powerful. And what I think unblocked me the most was that we did a mini fourth and fifth step. And that was so powerful because from there I was able to be open and I was able to hear the message. And during the day, I left because I am religious and spiritual. And I think for me, both of them are intertwined and I can't do one with the other. But I was able to leave to go to my religious practice and meet my sister there, which was another gift. And so with all of this and with all the people and with all the fellowship that I had, I left so full of so many good promises and so much good fellowship that I feel rejuvenated and grateful. And I see where religious people are right because I have learned from them since I was a child. And with that, I am so grateful and joyful today. Everyone have a great day. Julie M., New York. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie M. And next up, we have Ann M. Ann, please share with us and tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Ann M. from Western North Carolina. And I am a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater and food addict. I was moved to share this morning because specifically the sentence that refers to memorizing a few set prayers, because my spiritual practice that has grown initially separate from my recovery, but is so now closely intertwined, with my recovery, and it involves memorizing passages to meditate upon. I too came into the program skeptical, full of prejudice, a lot of the things that Bill W. and the other authors address in We Agnostics, that I was resistant. And yet, in the work that I have done over the past few years, I have absolutely come to have a very deep spiritual awakening and a very close relationship with the God of my understanding. And that is the key phrase, God of my understanding. And that has been built on memorized prayers from a variety of religious traditions. I have prayers from Christian, Islamic, Jewish, Hindu faith traditions. And all of those inform my spiritual life and help me develop a closer relationship with the God of my understanding. And so I use those in morning meditation and in afternoon meditations. And I'm fortunate to be able to join with others at various times for meditation practice, in addition to my usual solitary morning meditation. But it helps me recover and stay in fit spiritual condition for the day. And with that, I pass and wish everybody a wonderful Tuesday. Thank you so much.
Thank you, E&M from North Carolina. And next up, we have Christina J. from North Carolina. North Carolina's today. Christina, please share with us.
Yeah, hi, Nancy. Good to hear you on the line. This is an invitation to seek. Do whatever you have to do. You know, have it a partner. Open your mind up to what religious people have to offer. Have your prayers. You know, it's just seek. Stay in contact. Reach. Come to me. Come home. Keep this fire burning in our relationship. And open your mind to whatever I might bring your way. And, you know, life is very fluid. It's, you know, for me, it's not like a rote routine. I've never been able to hold on to a rote routine because I have challenges in my life and they require different things sometimes. This morning, I had one line that was my prayer. May I be at peace. And I just use that a mantra over and over because I've been dealing with a very stressful situation at work. And, you know, so that was it. I mean, that was all I could do. I didn't get any sleep last night, but I came to God and I said, may I be at peace. Hold me today. Keep me out of my mind. You know, that's my greatest disease is my mind. It's my greatest helper, and my greatest disease is all the wounds that come up and attack my mind and tell me that, you know, whatever. God's working with me deeply on a deep wound right now, and he's challenging me, and he's showing me where I'm still holding, and letting that become my God. So I'm open to whatever God has to bring to me, and I always have been. I've been a seeker all my life. And so I have many modalities that I've pulled from in my morning prayers and meditation, and they've all been extremely helpful, especially the two-way prayer, which is such an open, honest letter to my Father, my Lord, and then I just pour it out honestly. I don't have to have any fear, and then it comes back to me. You know, my husband and I do prayers at breakfast together, and that's about the extent of it. I meditate in my part of the house in the mornings, and he does his, and we both have different routines. But, you know, I think this paragraph is just telling us, stay open, come to me. You know, do your prayers, do whatever you have to do, and God will guide us to what our hearts really resonate with. We don't have to do exactly what, you know, sit in the dark and stare at the wall. Definitely not. If that's not working for you, you know, find something else, but continue to reach and ask fellows what might be helpful for you. And I guess that's all I have to share. Thank you. I pass.
Hey, thanks, Christina J. And next up, we have Amy MC. Amy, where are you calling from?
Good morning. I am calling from Massachusetts. Good morning, Amy MC, recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And, oh, boy, I just love Step 11. I really, really do. And I love this passage because, one, it gives me another dignity of choice, right? I can include whatever elements of prayer and meditation that really suit my needs, because that's why the offering is there, you know, to offer, to go to minister, clergyman, whomever. And I love what has been said about asking other people, what does your quiet time in the morning look like, to add something to mine, to change it up? And I am a creature of habit. I love doing the same thing over and over again. And for me, the magic is getting still and quiet enough to notice something new and different. So I add things, I get rid of them. And the difference is, in my mind, I no longer beat myself up if it isn't exactly the same as yesterday. If it's some variation, that's what I'm seeking. I am seeking to communicate with God, to have prayer, talking to Him, and meditation for Him to talk to me. And I love the part about inviting others. And here's my truth. I invited others, but I can't force them to show up. And I can't allow the energy of them and inviting them or bringing them in to take away from my experience, you know? Like, I'm inviting you because I want you to enjoy this rich experience too. And P.S., I'm going to keep doing it, whether or not you can show up. So sadly, my experience was, oh, I wanted to join. Oh, you stopped inviting me. Yeah, I stopped inviting you because you weren't coming. And I need to do this. This is part of my way of life, right? I've heard in the rooms, I've experienced in real life, and it's in the big book. This isn't a fad. This isn't like the newfound thing. This isn't any kind of like quick fix. This is my way of life. This is part of my way of life. It's not a diet. It's not a diet with group support. It's not just group support. It is a way of life. God first, God first, God first. And my recovery, when I take the action, comes. And by the grace of God, I get this. I've been getting the gifts of recovery for many, many 24 hours. And it starts on a daily basis. Thank you. I heard that. It starts on a daily basis, getting on my knees and doing this work. So with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Amy MC from Massachusetts. And before we hear from Benita, who's up next, let me remind everyone, if you got on late, we are on page 87, the second paragraph, if circumstances warrant, through that one paragraph. And I'll take a list of names after we hear from Benita. Benita, please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. Benita L. from Georgia, recovered compulsive overeater. And it's interesting to think about this, because I've known from the past the power of that really early morning first thing. And when I'm realistically looking at it, though, because sometimes I wake up and go to the gym right away and stuff like that, and then I do it later, but I should really track it and see how many times, because if I don't do it the very first thing, there's always a chance, like a good chance, that's it's not going to happen. And I grew up in one of the big religions of the world and left that when I was 17 or 18. And you know what I still realize listening to this? I still have some bad feelings, you know, when people mention that religion. And I have some new friends who are pretty devoted to that religion. So it's an opportunity to be healing that. But one of the most spectacular experiences I had, and I do a practice with a group of people, a spiritual practice that does honor all the traditions around the world. But I went last Thanksgiving to a temple, a Jewish temple, that had an interfaith celebration. And you name it, I think they had almost everybody represented there, including Native Americans, and an African American DA was up there praying, which really broke some stereotypes for me as far as, you know, district attorneys praying in the synagogue. Anyway, it was so powerful because I had that deep realization. And I loved it that of all these different religions and traditions, it was like we are the children of God. And it was that perfect experience of right relationship with the Creator. And so more and more towards unity. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanita L. from Georgia. And now we'll take another list of names. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Fran
V. Anna S.
All right, I got Fran.
Mary J.
All right, Aaron, we got Fran, Aaron K., Fran, Fran somebody. Who else?
Lindsay.
Pam Elena. L.
Lindsay.
Jane L. Elena.
Mary
Elena.
Pam
L.
Elena.
Jane.
David M.
Okay,
Loretta
I heard Loretta. All right, let me tell you who I've got so far. I've got Fran, Aaron, Lindsay, Elena, Jane, Loretta. Who did I miss? There was a gentleman in there that I missed.
David M.
And
David.
Pam L.
David. And Pam, that's who was trying to get in there. All right, Pam L. All right, let's go with that list. We've got Fran, Aaron, Lindsay, Elena, Jane, Loretta, David, and Pam L. When you come up, if you'd give me the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, that would be swell. Fran, you have the floor.
Good morning. Fran V. in Florida, recovered from compulsive eating, and thank you for your service. And I personally was brought up in a pretty religious background. I went to a religious grammar school. In fact, when I was in the fifth grade, a nun said, you pray for anything you want, and if God wants you to have it, you'll have it. And if you don't get it, then he doesn't want you to have it. So being 10, I prayed for a parakeet. And the very next day, not only did a yellow parakeet land in front of me, it didn't fly away when I went to pick it up. So my prayer is to have childlike faith. But as life went on, that spiritual muscle atrophied. And with all my religious beliefs and convictions, I could not stop eating compulsively. So I was blocked. And how I strengthened that spiritual muscle was to work the steps, 1 to 9, and then 10 through 12 on a daily basis. And with God's grace and mercy, I've been free from compulsive eating. But not only that, a whole lot of other behaviors have diminished and even disappeared. So relationships and every area of my life. So, you know, one day at a time, a daily reprieve, and I'm very grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Hey, thank you, Fran V. from Florida. Next up, we have Aaron K. from my state, Michigan. Aaron, you have the floor.
Morning, Nancy. Aaron K., not just from your state, but your town, Ann Arbor, Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. It's always lovely to be on a Tuesday. So this This paragraph reminded me of another paragraph you just read with a sponsor yesterday in a word about alcoholism on 43 of the book. It was just such a beautiful reminder before the addict at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first bite, except in a few rare cases, neither he, she, nor any other human being can provide such a defense. That defense must come from a higher power. And, you know, the whole preceding chapter is about, you know, how our thinking takes us back. You know, so how do I stay defended against my own thinking? You know, and then 86 to 88 tells me how. And in this paragraph we're reading, I really liked, you know, prayers that emphasize the principles we've been discussing. And you know, so how do I stay defended? I have a practice every morning, as all of us have been talking about. But in my prayer, I think about these principles. You know, what are they talking about? I think really it boils down to the principles that the movement that this book came out of were built on, you know, which is honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. So, you know, I pray to be honest, you know, help me be truthful and transparent today. Purity, help me maintain my moral cleanliness, you know, not to do harm, not to let fear and selfishness, you know, guide me into decisions that will only make me and other people feel icky later. Unselfishness, putting others before myself. How can I bring a spirit of service into this day, just this day? And love, you know, how can I live out kindness and compassion and patience? And, the things that work directly against me being able to show up this way are my fear, my resentment, especially fear, you know, and so that, you know, has to be looked at in the morning sometimes and inventoried and given away. And then I come back and I ask, you know, for the power to live out these principles in a day, one day at a time. And I think that's how, really practically, how I maintain the defense. And when I don't do these things, you know, the shields get weak and will eventually, you know, the shields will go down. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Aaron K., my neighbor from Michigan. And next up, we have Lindsay. Lindsay, if you tell us the initial of your last name.
Good morning, everybody. Lindsay P. from New York. I can say so much about this paragraph. I love it so much. But, you know, there's been so many days where I've had the most beautiful God-centering meditation, and then I went to work, and within 3 minutes I was gossiping, you know, listening to the newest gossip at the, you know, with my colleagues. And I was reminded that this paragraph is really about being in alignment with my higher power, and that doesn't stop when my morning meditation stops. That this requires consistency on my part and discipline, and it requires having an open heart throughout the day, not just those few moments in the morning, or even a few moments in the morning and then in the evening. I love that it talks about making use of religious, you know, when religious people, you know, ask them for their advice or if they have any prayers. And that when this big book was written, they didn't have so many meditation apps and so much access. And so it's just so wonderful to be able to pick and choose from different videos and each other and be on, you know, technology with each other and have so many ways to align ourselves with our higher power, because, you know, that's what I think his goal for us is, or for me specifically, is just to have that balance between the action of the prayer and the meditation, but then just being receptive, and then also being reciprocal with other people throughout the day. And I need to bring this to all my actions throughout the day. And if it's not kind and if it's not true, then I can't say it. And I can't do both and be in alignment with God. So that's what this paragraph brought up for me this morning. Thank you for all your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lindsay P. And next up, we have Elena C. from South Carolina. Elena, please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Nancy, for your service. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, recovered for today. And what I appreciate the most about this paragraph is the reminder that not to shy away and not to have prejudice against any religions in this world. And on page 49 in We Agnostic, it says, "We have traveled this dubious path, beg you to lay aside prejudice against organized religion." And I did have a prejudice against my religion and the fundamentalist religion. And because I was traumatized by it, that was just my experience. And I appreciate this book is mentioning that every single religion can bring something beautiful. It says that we have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. And when I look at it that way, it helped me so much with that prejudice that I had. It was on my fourth step inventory. Because it's further, spiritual-minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and youthfulness. And it's true. When I think of my childhood, people who went to church, and they had many, many, you know, atrocities in their lives. Of course, life is not easy, but they did demonstrate youthfulness and stability. And I needed that for myself. So today I find something beautiful in the religion of my childhood. I have to go, but I don't have to. I choose to go there because that's where I find my people, my Romanian community is around church. And I take what I like and leave the rest. And I don't, for the most part, I don't judge. And when I have judgmental thoughts about some of the things they're doing, I need a 10-step inventory. I need to let that go because who am I to tell them that's wrong? It did not fit for me. Though some beliefs of them of that religion did not fit for me. But I have no right to tell them that that's not what they should be doing, what they should be practicing. And I'm very grateful for that. I made peace with my religious trauma. So, and I could go in that place where I had religious trauma and not be further traumatized by it because I have this program,
gentle reminder,
which is spiritual, not religious. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina. And next we have Jane F. Jane, if you tell us where you're from, you have the floor. Jane, press star 1.
Oh, good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes.
My apologies. I was talking to myself and God. This is Jane S. is in Sparks, and I hail from New Hampshire. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. What I still can't believe I hear myself say that out loud. So that's who I am today, and I'm grateful to know that. Thank you, everyone, for your service, Nancy, for yours, and for all the readers, and everybody shares. I mean, I can listen today to everyone's point of view, everybody's practices, and it's a beautiful thing. I can learn from that. When I came into these the 12-step fellowship almost 16 years ago, I didn't know how to listen. I just knew how to tell you what you were doing wrong, you know, so that I could feel better about myself. And it really didn't work. It took years to figure that out. And, you know, I kept seeing God up on the walls. And I remember getting to this place in the big book. And I would just skip over this because I saw the word religious and you know, religious people. And so I had a lot of letting go to do. But I did, my higher power guided me to build a morning practice with the help of my sponsor in the parent program that I'm also in. And, you know, it was built out of gratitude and readings every morning. And when I heard meditation, I thought I had to just sit still and be quiet, and I could not quiet my mind down. And she introduced me to readings and, you know, the little meditation books and yada, yada. And so I started building this foundation that I start my day with. And I always, wherever I am, God is with me in my heart. So it doesn't matter where I am or where I wake, the first time I open my eyes, or sometimes it's even before I open my eyes, I thank God for a new day and another new beginning. And now, you know, fast forward 16 years later, today actually is 9 months of starting a new way through this fellowship. And I found a peace and serenity and a freedom by continuing this practice on a daily basis. And it doesn't just, like it's been said, in the morning. That's paramount for me.
Jane? We seem to have lost Jane. So, Jane, thank you for your share, and let's move on to Loretta H. Loretta, you have the floor. Please tell us where you're calling from. Can I be heard?
Nancy, thank you very much, and welcome to the newcomer and all who are saving my life. Along with my precious, precious God. So my prayer meditation is I try to have a date with God every morning. And it says the presence of God today in We Agnostics is the most important fact of my life. And it's a powerful reason why one should have faith. And I also came in very agnostic. I left my religion after I got married, and today what is so important for me is people talk about the program and then the routine, and for me today it's not about perfection because I am a perfectionist, but it's about the connection. I can't do anything robotically anymore because that makes me into that body that I was when I compulsively overate and restricted, because that is what I wanted to be, was a perfect person. And there's no such person that is like that today. And it talks about the principle. So today, I work towards being that principle person with this date with God, with working. Every morning I do something different. Then on two-way prayer meetings, I look at literature, I sometimes just read a chapter of the big book, anything to get that connection, and no perfection about this, because my mind isn't really there. And also the other thing is that last year I was doing this, but I don't do this anymore, was each month I would take the principle, the tradition, and the concept of the month, and work on those for the month. And this month, I just looked them up, is courage, autonomy, and equality. And that puts everything into perspective for this morning for me. So today I'm going to have the courage with this date with God, the autonomy that, you know, that everything in my life has a reason. And then the quality that I'm not better than, I'm not less than, I'm just human. And then I can live in that neutrality of being a better Loretta, because that is where God is, in the present, in the neutrality, in the trust, in the authenticity. He's there. So may I find him now. And with this practice, hopefully I do, and I will, and I can. And with that, I pass. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. And next we have Dave, followed by Pam L. Dave, please give us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
David M. from Florida. Glad to be here. I've always been grew up with the faith. And I really didn't, I started 12 steps. I really didn't believe in the 12 steps too much. And then until I started working them, and I'm like, oh, this actually works. This is starting to work here. Every time I would kind of like, you know, call a fellow, I'm like, okay, that helped, or do something like that, you know, it helps. And I'm grateful for that. I just wanted to share that real quick. I'll give back the time to other people. Thank you.
Thank you, David M. from Florida. And next up, we have Pam L., and then we'll be able to take maybe one or two more shares. Pam, please tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, friends. This is Pam L. from Georgia, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I love Step 11. OA and another 12-step program has really strengthened my relationship with God. When I came into the program, I was already a Christian, but it was truly practicing the 11th step that strengthened my relationship with God. Because of growing up in a violent alcoholic home, when I came into the program, I really just had a difficult time believing that God could love me personally. The 12 steps have helped me believe that God loves me. So in my 11th step meditation, I do have a specific method that I want to share in how I meditate. After many years in the program, I have turned back to my Christian practices, and the way I meditate is to take one specific scripture or even a program slogan, and I emphasize one word at a time. For example, Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So the way I would do that would be emphasize one word at a time, be still and know that I am God. And just think about be. What does it mean to be in this moment? I know today that it is the maintenance of my spiritual condition rather than how I feel about my spiritual condition that will keep me abstinent. And that's all I have to share. I pass.
Hey, thank you, Pam L. from Georgia. And we have time for either two-minute shares or 1 3-minute. So who wants to share today?
Mary J.
Somebody S.
Anna S.
And Anna S. and Mary J. If you'd each take 2 minutes, that would be great. Anna S., you have the floor. Where are you calling from, Anna?
I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, this paragraph is really, all the shares this morning have really spoken to me, and I thought that about my morning routine that I'm starting to get into, you know, as I'm doing step one, step two. And I was lucky enough to become Jewish 6 years ago. I came into a Jewish community in Skokie, Illinois. My husband's Jewish, and I grew up in Science of Mind. And the rabbi that I was lucky enough to get to know and learn from was considered himself a self-proclaimed singing, dancing Hasid. And he was a reform rabbi named Rabbi Douglas Goldhammer, and I miss him a lot. But I think about him in the joy of prayer and the celebration of prayer, and listening to Mode Ani as a song. And, you know, it's very, I have this deck of cards by Rabbi Marcia Prager from Pennsylvania. That's these beautiful artistic cards that have all of the different prayers from the Amidah, like in sentence form. And you can just pick one and look through it and meditate on it. And it's just, you know, it doesn't have to be the old way. It can be. And there's a lot of beauty in that. And, you know, sitting with the prayers simply in Hebrew and, you know, praying on them. But it also can be singing and dancing in joy And I love that. I love the idea of having that joy in my morning as I start my day. And so I thought I would share that. So thank you very much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Ann F. from Wisconsin. And our last share today will be Mary J. Mary, please tell us where you're calling from. Did I hear a Mary J. or a Marie J.?
I was talking away, so sorry, but I love to piggyback on the last share because my
God. And you have 1 minute.
Yes, I'm going. My God is happy and joyous and free and amazing. And with all of my heart, I go into this day wanting to find God's joy and God's love and God's laughter and to share it with my fellows as I change up. I love that word earlier, too, that I'm changing up my program and my belief and my faith in a higher power and my program every day. And I'll pass with that.
Hey, thank you so much, Mary Neal. And thanks to everyone who shared today. What a great meeting. For a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, April 1st, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 22,303. That's 22,303. And we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Rena L., will you please read a vision for you for us?
Sure. Hi, this is Rena L., a recovered compulsive eater from Toledo, Ohio. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize you know only a little. God will constantly give more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you.